And now, to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Nancy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nancy. I'm an alcoholic.
Nancy.
It's really good to be at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's good to be at Never Had a Legal. I never had a legal drink, so it's awesome to be speaking at a meeting that is the name of the group. There's a couple of people in here that, I've known for a while, seeing in the meetings here, and it's nice to see them still at this meeting. I came here a couple of weeks ago. I was working, and I kind of dropped in, and I couldn't believe how many people were here. First of all, I thought the meeting was still on the other side. I'm like, where is the meeting? So it was really nice to walk in here and see all these people here and see the group flourish and see how far it's come. As a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I love AA. When I first came here, I didn't think I would ever say something like that, ever. But I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And why do I love Alcoholics Anonymous? Because it gave me the life that I have today. I have half a voice. My voice is a little hoarse. I just got back from a vacation. I was down in Savannah, Georgia. I was marching in the parade down there. Sunday night, I was doing karaoke to the Beastie Boys up on a stage. And I had my cute little skirt on, a nice little dress, my hair pulled back. I looked like, I was running for the Republican campaign. And people are looking at me, and I'm up there, and I'm jumping around. And I come off the stage, and they were like, whoa. Even like some of the girls, my friends that I was with, they were like, we didn't know you were from Brooklyn. But it's... I don't need to have a drink to do that kind of stuff. I don't need to have a drink to stand up here. Well, I'm sitting down. This is very different for me to sit down and speak. I feel like I'm like trapped to the chair. I'm a big like walker. With the microphone, I feel like I'm staring at that recording thing. It's for me, sobriety. It's such a cliche, but it is all about what you put into it. When I first came in here, I sat in the back of the room, and I looked at the speakers, and I was like, no, I have nothing in common with you. No, you're not the same as me. No, I don't drink like you. No, I'm not going to be like you. And no, I'm not going to stay in AA because it's not that bad. And somebody said to me, you know what, Nancy? People that don't have a problem with alcohol don't just end up going to AA meetings. You don't wander down those steps because you were bored and you saw people outside smoking butts and you're like, hey, what's going on in that church? I think I want to go down there and check it out. It just doesn't happen that way. We come here because we know that there's something going on. We know that there's something wrong with our drinking. And for me, my drinking, I love the taste of booze. I loved, and I still love the way it smells. I enjoy the way it smells. I love what it did to me. I love the way it made me feel. I don't understand when people are like, I held my nose when I took my first shot. I didn't. I really didn't. I grew up in a family where it was very accepted. Alcohol was extremely accepted in my house. We would have little kiddie parties, we'd have the parties and we'd have the kiddie tables, and my mother would break out the fine china and these gorgeous little glasses, and we'd have the champagne, we'd have the wine, we'd have the beer. My father would be like, come on over here, have a sip of daddy's beer. And, we loved it. It wasn't something that was like, oh, it's bad for you. And there are people whose families, grew up in that kind of environment. But my family, we loved booze. We loved drinking. We loved the fun. We loved the excitement. And that's what I saw. And that's what I gravitated towards. I gravitated towards the fun part. I gravitated towards my father walking into that bar or being in the restaurant and that command of walking in there and saying, I want a martini straight up, you know, with two olives, dry. And like that bartender gave you what you wanted. Like, how crazy is that? The presence of being in the bar. I love that. As a young kid, my father would take us. He worked down on Wall Street. He had a lot of accounts. We'd go to a lot of sporting events. So we were down at Yankee Stadium. And, you know, we'd go to these functions and just be like in the mix. And we loved it. My sister and I, we have a house up in the Catskill Mountains in right outside of this neighborhood, East Durham. And it's very Irish up there. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say where my grandfather's from is why I'm an alcoholic, or what religion my family is in is because I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because I love booze. I love the taste of booze. I love what it does to me, and I love the way it makes me feel. So we would go to these parties and events and these functions. Is that normal?
Yes.
I just got back from Savannah, which, by the way, is one of the most haunted cities in the country. And there was a lot of crazy things going on there. So I thought maybe it followed me here. You know, we would go to these events and these parties and you know, and I'd see the insanity and I'd see the fun and I'd see the craziness. But I wouldn't see, like, my father, you know, struggling to get up for work in the morning. He would get up and he'd get on that train and he'd go back to work. I wouldn't see, like, my mother worked 4 to 12. She was a nurse. I would, you know, I'd see my parents, like, function. And so I thought I would function, too. And sixth grade, wasted, drunk. Seventh grade, you know, drinking a little bit more. Eighth grade, a little bit more. You know, by ninth, 10th grade, I learned how to get on that train and how to ride the subway. And I learned how to go to the Bronx. I learned how to go to Jamaica Ave. I learned how to rob your house and then sell stuff on Jamaica Ave. You know, I learned how to knock on your door at 14 years old and tell you that I'm, you know, doing some jump rope-a-thon for, like, the Heart Association and collect money. And meanwhile, it's going in my pocket because we're going to these clubs in the city. You know, and I look at kids today, but I look at, like, 14-year-olds. And I look and I'm like, this was me going to clubs, 14, 15 years old, the stuff that I was doing. I didn't care because at 14 years old, I didn't have a job. So I had to do what I did to get money. My friends and I would babysit and then call the police and say the house got robbed. You know, I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy, the lies and the lies. So by 16 years old, this lifestyle caught up to me. I was on probation, and I got sent away. And even like when I was away, I had that attitude, like, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, I could do this. I'll be out of here soon. And meanwhile, I'm like crying my eyes out to sleep, like, who am I? Like, what am I doing? And then I came home and I went right back to doing the same thing over and over and over again. I barely graduated high school, and I was a high honor roll student. I was straight A student. And now I'm like going into Nassau Community College, which, nothing wrong, Nassau is one of the top community colleges in the country. I'm going into Nassau taking remedial reading. There's kids in my class that they don't know how to read, and I'm telling them how to read, and I'm suffering the consequences because I was supposed to go away to college and I drank all my spending money away. My parents were like, you're going to Nassau and you're going to like it. And when I sat to take the entrance exam, I was boxed. I was so wasted. I thought it was a joke. I'm like, yep, check, 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 check. You know, not realizing that I'm going to be stuck in these classes. So, you know, now still I always had this feeling of entitlement, like, yeah, all right, I could do whatever I want. And eventually it caught up, you know, it got caught up when I was on probation and I went in front of the judge multiple times and I finally went away. And it got caught up when I was 19 years old and I got a DWI and I went to jail and that was it. You know, I thought I could drive drunk multiple times, driving down the road, one eye on the steering wheel, driving, taking other people in my car's life in my hands. And them telling me, Nancy, you're the best drunk driver ever. You know, like, I'm sure there's plenty of us that have heard that. Like, we thought, oh, yeah, that's another notch on my belt. I'm a good drunk driver. That's pathetic. But we thought it was funny. We think it's, like, funny, like a chip on our shoulder. And here I was taking these other people on the road's lives into my hands, my own life into their hand, into my hands. And one night it was snowy and I was working in a bar because I had dropped out of college, and I got on the road just like I did 50 million other times. And even when I got sober after that, I was like lying to people. I was leaving the one bar, going to another bar to acquire goods that would make me stay up longer. And when I left the bar, it was so snowy out. It was January. And I left the bar and I was so wasted. I remember thinking, I'm going to go to this other bar and I'm going to take the highway because it'll be clear. And I'm driving down this one lane and I ended up swerving around and I smashed into another car and I was so wasted. I barely remember it. But what I do remember is the cops pulling me out and telling me, don't look at your car, don't look at your car, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. And of course, you tell me not to do something, I'm gonna do it. And my car was buckled, you know, the seat just buckled. And if I was still in there, I would be dead. So I got ejected from the vehicle. And my father, I grew up on Long Island, and my father's a volunteer firefighter. So they have these little pager things, and they don't say like, Nancy B, I normally say my last name, but I can't because I'm being recorded. They don't say so-and-so is laying on the Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway. They just say, there's a car accident, blah, blah, blah. So here's my dad, gets out of bed, his warm bed, it's snowing out. He goes to respond to the call, not knowing that it's me. And he gets to the call, and this is, you know, pre-cell phone texting days. And he gets on the call and he opens the back of the ambulance. And at this point, now he knows it's me. I'm 19 years old. I'm the oldest of three kids. I grew up in a household where my father, you know, he shot guns. My sister and I learned how to shoot guns. He went hunting. We learned how to hunt. My father taught us how to drive when I was 10 years old. We learned, you know, I grew up in a family where my father taught us everything. And he looked in the back of that ambulance. And he was filled with disgust. Like, where did this girl go? Who is this girl laying here? And I was belligerent and rude. And all the young firemen, they're trying to, like, shove mints down my throat. But, you know, it has nothing to do with your breath. Like, it's in your blood. Like, I'm wasted. There's nothing. So, you know, I went to jail and the whole thing. And I get out of jail. And I literally, 2 days later, said to my mother, I want you to take me to that meeting at St. William's. There was a meeting Wednesday night in the parish that I grew up in. I knew that the meeting was there because my good friend that I grew up with went to this meeting. But when she went to the meeting, she came back and had this like meeting list with all these questions on the back. And I remember her showing it to me and she's like, you know what? You should read this. And I remember reading it, and in my own head thinking, yes, 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 yes to all these questions. But to her, I said, no, I'm not an alcoholic. Meanwhile, she's the girl I did all the running with. Every single thing that she did, I was right there with her. I thought she was brainwashed. I thought this was a cult. I thought they told her she can't be my friend anymore, which, you know, was the suggestion. Stay away from people, places, and things. If you're getting sober, what do you want to hang out with? Some lunatic that's like stealing and doing things and, you know, driving around drunk and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So now I go to my first meeting And there was a man and a woman speaking, and I remember like it was yesterday. They said, "Is there anybody here for the first time?" And somehow I raised my hand, and I just, you know, I don't even remember what I said, but it seemed like the whole entire meeting came up to me after. It's probably like three people. And they were like, you know, "Listen, hey, you know, meeting list, big books," you know, I don't know what these things were. But they said, "Listen, there's a meeting tomorrow night. You know, you really should check it out. Maybe you should come to," no, I have to work. Like, I had every excuse in the book. Meanwhile, I had no job because I was working in a bar. I had to quit my job that I got the DWI coming out of. I wasn't in college anymore. I dropped out of school. I'm 19 years old. I live at home. Like, where else am I going to go? So this kid that I grew up with, I saw him, like, through the sea of people. And he said to me, "Listen, Nancy, we're going to come to your house. We're going to pick you up, and we're going to take you to this meeting." And I don't know how or why, or, like, I was possessed, but I said yes. And a couple of guys came to my house, and they picked me up, and they took me to the meeting. And that was when I was 19. I ain't 19 no more, and I'm still sober. And I'm still sober. And I still love AA. And I still put AA first. And if, you know, there's people in the room right now that I'm friends with that know me, I will be the number one advocate to tell you about having fun in sobriety. Because there's people that come in here and all they do is cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And I understand that. I get it. Because this disease tells us you suck, you're a loser, why are you sitting here? You're never gonna have a life ever, ever, ever again. And if you wanna be that way, that's fine. But I could tell you right now, we'll make believe the shade is here. With doing the steps, having a sponsor, taking commitments, helping a newcomer, reaching out to other people, joining a group, getting active. You know, we live in the best city ever. I tell people all the time, you know, for AA, if you cannot get to a meeting and you live in New York City, Long Island, New Jersey, there's something wrong with you. There really is something wrong with you, because we have Alcoholics Anonymous, almost round the clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, I know that the 2 o'clock struggles, but there is a meeting at 2 o'clock. There's the midnight meeting, you know, constantly. And you could duck into any one of those meetings and hook up with somebody and say, "Listen, I really need to talk. I'm having a tough time." And any one of us that is an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I say active, you know, somebody who's willing to listen. There's a lot of people in here who don't care, as sad as it sounds, who just use that door and go in and out and in and out and in and out. And I pray for those people. And there's a lot of people who just bypass the solution, and they bypass the happiness and the joy that I feel. And there's plenty of people in this room that feel also. So if you're sitting here today, tonight, and you're like, "Oh, you know, I'm not like you, you know, whatever," if you're sitting there comparing yourself to me, I'm telling you, give yourself, you know, a day at a time, and it gets better. I would tell myself, and people would say to me, you know, "Oh, I have this wedding to go to, or I have this party, or this whatever," and I'd say, "I really want to drink. I can't do this. I can't do this. I cannot do this." And like, full on anxiety, like, I can't stay sober. I'm not going to do this. And they'd be like, "Okay, today's Thursday. When is that wedding?" "It's May 17th. "Okay, Nancy, you know what? Day at a time. A day at a time. And sometimes for us, it's a minute at a time. It's an hour at a time. It can be shrunk down as simple as that. And for me, I still have to do that. I called my sponsor while I was away. you know, it gets a little crazy when you're in an environment for St. Patrick's Day. And I know my limits. I walk away. The alarm goes off when I'm getting pushed and shoved 50,000 times. Bye-bye. I go back to my nice hotel room and I leave. I go to a meeting when I'm away. I call my sponsor when I'm away. Because I'm still an alcoholic, it doesn't matter. And a day at a time, if I don't go to AA, if I don't share my feelings with another alcoholic and say to somebody, you know what, I'm struggling, I'm really having a hard time, that's going to keep me further and further away. And then I'll sit in the meeting and I'll separate myself from the meeting. Oh, you know what? I'm sober a while. These people, they're all newcomers. They don't know how I feel. You know what? I really don't need to go to a meeting anymore because nobody knows how I feel. And then a couple of days goes by. Now I'm not going to meetings. I've seen it happen to so many people. People with time, people with a couple of months, people with a couple of days. And then what ends up happening, you get all these great things. You know, you get a girlfriend, you get a boyfriend, sometimes you get both. you get a job, you go back to school, and you get all these great things. And we come in here literally crawling, like struggling, like I have nothing, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And then you come to AA, you get a sponsor, you get sponsees, you get a home group, you're in the solution, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I don't think I can go speak Tuesday night. I have school. Oh, I don't think I can go meet with my sponsee. I have this, you know. And then all of a sudden, all those things that you got from Alcoholics Anonymous, slowly, one by one, they start disappearing. You start slacking in school. The job's not good anymore. The boyfriend or the girlfriend's like, I don't really know who you are anymore. And then all of a sudden, you're left back with you again. And that drink starts looking good. And you're like, you know what? I really haven't been going to too many meetings. My life is pretty good. I'm doing good right now. I'm just going to go have one drink. And then the one drink turns into another and another and another and another and another. I've been to so many funerals. I've seen too many dead bodies from friends of mine that thought they would have just one. And they went out for one day and they never came back. So, you know, I laugh, I joke, I party, I have a great time. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. But I could sit here in like 2 seconds and start crying to think about all the people that I was friends with that are not here anymore. You know, kids that I went to meetings in the city with, I went to midnight with, Al-Anon House, you know, dances with. They're not here because they thought I don't really need to go to meetings anymore, or they decided, you know, I could do what I need to do. So hold on tight to your seat. And if you are struggling, tell somebody. You know, tell somebody. Because we're all the same. We're all the same. I'm an alcoholic. Everybody in here is an alcoholic. And this disease is the only disease that tells us you don't have a disease. You don't need to go to those meetings anymore. I've been to meetings all around the world. I've been to 20 million billion young people's conventions. If you don't know what a young people's convention is, you know, ask somebody after the meeting. I'm a huge advocate. And you know, there's a lot of like mixed perceptions about what they are. It's just a lot of fun. It's meetings around the clock and dances and, you know, so many things. So I could go on for like another 10 minutes. But, you know, the message that I have today is of hope and like chance, giving yourself that chance. Because we're all sitting here, and obviously coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, we want something better for ourselves, but we like work on ourselves like, no, 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 you don't deserve this. You know, today I have a ridiculous career that it's beyond my wildest dreams. I have unbelievable relationship with my parents. You know, a very long time ago, I was like ready to stab my mother, literally. And I'm not saying that to be funny. Like, I almost stabbed my mother. And, you know, now my parents are like my best friends, my family, everybody. And I have people in my life today that what I put out, I give back. I surround myself with people who are caring, loving, open-minded people like me. Not takers, not people who are scheming. So if you're struggling, just stick around. There's a saying, wait 5 minutes for the miracle. And it's like legit. Wait five more minutes. Thanks.